In the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, we're going to begin with verse 16 and go through verse 21. Just recently, I talked about Paul and Silas, Timothy, on their journey. We can't forget Luke, who is the author of this, who is journeying with them, and how God has blessed them, even in the midst of trial and torment, in the midst of all the things that are happening in their life. God continued to work all things together for good. Not all things were good, but he began and he continued to work all things together for good. As we talked about the conversion of Lydia, we know that this group, this band of travelers who were Christ followers, went into this area where Lydia was, and they were actually looking for a place to pray. They were looking for that, and I talked about that last week and how we need to be a people who are looking for that place to pray, making time, carving out those moments where we can be alone with God. And in my face, again, as I got to this passage of Scripture that we're going to look at today, God reminded me that it is no small task that he's asking us to do, to make time and find that place to pray. God has blessed me just over this past two or three weeks with more opportunity to pray. And until you experience more time in prayer, you don't realize what you've missed. But these travelers, these Jesus followers were on their journey, and they were again seeking out a place to pray. In verse 16, once when we were going to a place of prayer, I want to stop. Just that's what I'm talking about. Through Scripture, over and over, not only did Jesus model getting away to those quiet places to pray, but also the disciples, those that walked and lived with him, those that became apostles, they modeled a life of prayer. So we have these travelers, these Jesus folks who are making Jesus the subject. They're doing life on life with those who are coming to know Jesus Christ. They are doing life in community. As opportunities arise, they are sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are not only doing life on life and life in community, they are doing life on mission. They have an agenda. They know that they were directed to go into the uttermost parts of the world and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That Jesus Christ laid his life down so that we could be free. That we could experience freedom. Moving on in that verse, we were met by a slave girl. We were met by a female slave. We were met by a female slave. Now, I was stopped in my tracks over the last few weeks as I was doing the research and looking into this about how relevant that piece, that little segment, we were met by a female slave, how significantly relevant that is in the culture in which we live today. In your Lifestyle 7 that you got in your bulletin, there are several resources and several organizations locally that are there. They are organized to help women specifically get out of that human trafficking ring or that bondage that they're in. I just heard one of our Western Washington Church of God pastors, his daughter is the general director at the Genesis Project down in Southern Seattle, which we say Southern Seattle, but they're working clear up Aurora, equal to us and even farther north. And they're working to rescue these female slaves, these slaves that are trapped in a life that they didn't deserve and that they didn't ask for. There's a brand new campaign, and if you're around the city of Seattle, I'm sure that you'll see it on some buses. They're bringing awareness to individuals. Just not long ago, there was that girl that was kidnapped, and we began to pray for her, and they found her at the bus stop in southern Seattle just a few days later. And apparently the handlers knew that high publicity and that getting that out on the street was not a good thing for them. And so she was released and found and returned to her home. There is a new campaign that is allowing us as individuals and people within the city of Seattle to identify and look for those things that could cue us in to potential people who are being humanly trafficked or human trafficking, and gives us the opportunity to give some information and maybe to get these girls some help. If you're online, if you're on Twitter, one of our Church of God organizations, and probably not a Church of God organization, but one that we are connected with, is called Strip Love. And if you're on Twitter, even if you're on Facebook, you can go in there and type in Strip Love. They're doing some amazing things around the country. They're doing some amazing, wonderful things to bring freedom to those that are being trafficked. And when I got to this part of the scripture and thought, wow, that is so prevalent, not just within the Christian community. I know that Bethany, just down the road, has this major emphasis, and there are other congregations around Seattle that are major emphases on getting this awareness out. But it's a big deal for us. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, it's a day off, but it's also a day to remember one who fought so significantly in our history to bring equal rights among the races. And even not just amongst the races. In April of 1963, when Martin Luther King Jr. was in the Birmingham prison, he wrote that he was about freedom for all people, not just races. And I know that we have battles and fights, and there's all of this division within the world that we live. And Martin Luther King fought for justice, for that social justice that we see all of the time, that we hear about all the time, that we are involved in. And if you're not an advocate for social justice, let me encourage you, there are plenty of opportunities for you to be an advocate and to help care for those that society has cast aside and has despised. God has raised a church that he has empowered to meet the needs of those around us that are in bondage. When I looked at this scripture, it made me wonder, first of all, why were they met by a female slave girl? Why were they met? Now, as we get on in the scripture, we'll understand that she was possessed, or she had this spirit within her that allowed her to tell the fortunes. But my mind just raced. Why would this girl, who was handled by several owners, according to scripture, why would this girl seek out this band of travelers, this group of Christ followers? And I personally came to this conclusion. When someone is proclaiming the pure, true love of Christ, the freedom that comes from salvation in Christ, when that message is getting out, anybody who feels trapped, enslaved, in bondage, anybody who hears, this is why it's called the good news, anybody who hears that is compelled to get closer. Now, there's the opportunity to reject that and not to listen to that, but I believe that the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it wasn't the religion of the day, it was the good news, I believe, that compelled this slave girl to come into the presence of Paul and Silas, Timothy as he's journeying with them. The good news compelled her to come. As we read on in the scripture, it says, She had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. Next verse. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, now notice, he didn't say to the girl. He said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. Now, my wife knows that every time we drive down the street and we pass a psychic reading place or a palm reading place or something like that, I just kind of flippantly say, "I wonder if they knew I was going to drive by and say... I wonder if they knew I was going to drive by and not stop." And I just kind of say that flippantly. But there is a real, real spiritual battle that is happening in the world today. There have been times that I said, that's just phony baloney stuff. That's not real. There's no merit to it. How in the world, if there was no... Now, we understand it's within this spiritual realm and this a part of this spiritual battle that we are a part of. And we understand that if we go clear back to that scripture, clear back to Paul's time, there was women, there were people who had spirits that allowed them to forecast or to tell the future and earn great amounts of money or not. But they had these spirits that allowed them to do that. Joe, I had to rethink over the last week or so whether I'm going to keep making fun when I drive by one of those places or not. Maybe I should be reminded to pray. Because there are people that are susceptible, people that are going to these places. And I believe not only are they hearing from a spirit in the spirit realm, but have the potential of leaving that place, not only hearing from a spirit, but actually leaving bearing a spirit. That's a scary thing. And all of the fun that we make of the spirit world, we need to be reminded that God, the Father, the Son, has an equal third part of who he is called the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. For me not to believe in a spiritual world, in a spiritual realm, in a spiritual battle would be absolutely foolish. Each and every day, there is a spiritual battle happening for your soul. In this text that I read, there was this woman who was owned by masters and multiple. And she earned a great deal of money. And she wasn't this fraud that was found out. She wasn't this fly-by-night set up in your town. And as soon as you con as many people as you could, you move on. She was situated in this city, in this town, where she was making a great deal of money. Now, one of the things that is amazing is she never lied, even though she had a spirit that allowed her to do this. She never lied. I believe there was this battle going on within her. I believe she wanted to be near the truth. She wanted to be near the gospel. She wanted to be near the good news. She wanted to be free. I believe that's, I mean, think about it this way. If an evil spirit was dwelling in a person, why would that evil spirit want them anywhere near the presence of Jesus people? Why would that evil spirit want them anywhere near where the good news of Jesus Christ was being proclaimed? Why? I believe it wasn't the spirit that wanted to be in the close proximity of the gospel. I believe it was this woman who was so desperate to find freedom that she and the only thing she knew how to do when she got close was to tell the truth. These men are from God. These men are speaking the truth. Now, why would Paul get frustrated with that? Because she's telling the truth. If we look at the culture of that day, they would have known that she was a fortune teller. They would have known that she was not a Christian. They would have known that she was not a Christ follower. But many of them would have known that she was pretty much spot on. I believe the reason that Paul became so frustrated, it wasn't that she was telling the truth, but it was because she was associating her ability to forecast and to tell the future, to say this is what's happening, she was associating that with the ministry of the apostles, the disciples. She was associating with them in such a way that those who had gone to her for readings or to know their future in the past would have gone, well, they must be just like her. And Paul did not want that association. He knew what was going on. He knew what was going on. In this world that we live, it is so easy. Every time that we have a situation, again, Robin, thank you so much. But it's so easy when we get frustrated in the church. It's so easy to put a face on that and not back up and go, this is not a battle between flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle, and the enemy knows the potential that Fairview has. The enemy knows the potential that you as an individual has. The enemy knows that. And God wants you to know his presence in an amazing way. We need to back up and understand his power and his authority to bring us to just absolute place of freedom. Now remember, before we knew Christ, we were in bondage. We were in bondage. We were slaves to sin. We had no hope. But Christ, the good news, made a way for us to come to him and to know him. If you're dealing with whatever spirit that may be holding you back, I want you to know today that God is here to rescue you. There is a spirit that goes with just about everyone. Well, not just about, goes with every work of the flesh that will lead you down the road and the path of decay and destruction. But it is the Spirit of God that will enable you to live not in the fruits, but in the fruit of the Spirit. That is the spiritual life that we should be desiring. That is the spiritual life that we should be coveting. That is where we want to live. If we're living in vengeance and viciousness, if we're living in anger, if we're living in all of those places that bring us down, that just rob us, is probably the best way to say it, rob us of the blessings and the joy of the Lord, we need to offer that spirit up to him today and allow him to remove it. I believe that this woman, she could have said, I don't want this spirit anymore, Paul. I'm gonna accept your message. She didn't do that. But I believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells among us and around us, that we have the ability to come boldly before the throne and say, God, I'm dealing with anger. I'm dealing with frustration. I'm dealing with vengeance. I'm dealing with these emotions and these spiritual things in my life, and I need freedom. I need freedom today. I believe that God will offer that. I believe that as he offers that, though, it will not be without a battle. Let's look at our next portion of scripture. Let me find my right page here. Verse 19. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews, and they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or to practice." Now, I'm excited about two Sundays from now. I'm not going to be speaking next Sunday. Our general director from the PNA, Pastor Lord Mortz, will be with us next week. But the week after, I get to talk about Paul and Silas in prison and the amazing thing that God did. But I want us to see that when God brings freedom, there will be a fight. There will be a spiritual fight. There will be an enemy that is in your face. This year, as I've talked about getting out of God's way and for me to stop telling him what I want and for me to start embracing what he wants and for me to say, "God, I don't want to tell you what I want. I want you to tell me what you want." There has been a year-long plus battle. Why? Because the spiritual battle that I'm engaged in and the spiritual battle that you're engaged in, when you are pursuant of goodness and the glory of God, there will be an enemy that will seek to destroy that relationship and pull you away from the joy that comes from that. We need the power and the victory of Jesus Christ. This woman, as she was relieved of this spirit, caused quite a confusion. Her owners, her handlers, realized there was no more money. The spirit that enabled them to profit and to get all of this money was gone. Now, the battle doesn't always only come because of loss of money. The enemy will use an individual or a group who thinks they've lost power or who they think they've lost prestige, and they're fighting to gain. They're fighting to hold on to control. They're fighting again for their bank accounts. They're fighting to hold on to their plans for the future. They're fighting for all of this. They were so furious at Paul and Silas that they drug them into the city, into the core. They brought them before the magistrates. And here's what they did. "Look, the Jews are causing us an uproar." Now, I wonder why they didn't say, "The Christ followers, who are of a Jewish descent, are causing an uproar." Because obviously, Paul and Silas, who were drug in, they weren't proclaiming a Jewish traditional faith. They were proclaiming a freedom in Christ, a freedom in a Messiah that came and gave his life so that anybody, whether it was Jew or Gentile, anybody could come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And yet, I read one of the first accounts of anti-Semitism. "Look what the Jews did. We have to stop them. We have to eliminate them. We have to point them out in our culture and individualize them and cause a stir around them and say, look at what they are doing." Now think about this. Paul was proclaiming the good news. And all he did to a woman who was annoying him was say, "Spirit, come out of her." And then the whole town went nuts. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't Silas causing the uproar. It was the enemy in this spiritual battle who created such a confusion that everybody was like, what's going on? What's going on? Our culture trends in such a way that we will do things, now listen to this, we will do things in groups that we would never do individually. Why did the enemy not just use a couple people to bring them before the magistrates? Why did the enemy inflame the entire area? Because when we're not thinking, when we're getting sucked along with a group, when we're getting pulled along, we become more susceptible. Which brings me back to why it is so desperately important that you seek out the quiet places for prayer. I believe there's great food, there's great feeding, there's great nurturing in groups. I love gathering together and worshiping with you. I love that. But the most productive times that you will have with Almighty God is in those quiet moments where you have eliminated distraction, you step back from the group, you set your heart on Him, and you begin to commune. You begin to pray. You begin to seek. You begin to say, God, I know that it's in you that I find freedom. It's in you that I have the ability to live according to those scriptures and those callings that you've placed on my life. It's because of you. A lot of us get powered by people. Well, this group is behind me. These people all support me. I'm on this side and they're on that. We need to, as God's followers, step back. And in the quiet moment, say, God, I need you. I need you. I need you every hour. I need you in those moments where I don't know what to do. And I don't want to be influenced by the culture around me and the society around me. I want to be influenced only by your Spirit, by your Word. I want that in my life. As our worship team comes, I just want to go back. Just in a group this size, there's somebody that is dealing in a spiritual battle that you need freedom from. You need relief from. You need separation. You need someone. You need someone to allow you to come face to face with Almighty God, stripped of all of those earthly human superhuman spirits that are anti-God. I need to be completely standing, transparent, in awe of Almighty God. Maybe today that battle in you know you need relief. You know you need freedom. You know that the enemy he's got control and he's robbing you of joy. As we sing, I want you to ponder that.